Well, let's open in Joshua chapter 1. And I trust you've figured out by now this is not a sermon on the tabernacle, so we are postponing that just a little bit. As it turns out, after next week, I'll be gone for the following 2 weeks. So I think I might wait until after that, so the beginning of June, and then we'll begin the tabernacle series at that point. But tonight we're going to look at a subject that we have looked at before, but it's a subject, given its importance, that I think is one we need to be reminded of more than every once in a while, but frequently, and that is the subject of biblical meditation. Joshua chapter 1 is definitely one of those passages where we're given some of the clearest teaching on meditation and on the importance of it. We're going to read verses 1 to 8 here. I will say this is very much a topical study, so we're not going to be unpacking all of the details in these first 8 verses. But it's also a subject that I'd encourage you to keep thinking about, keep meditating on, even as you go on from here this evening. There's so much on this subject, especially if you go back and you look at the Puritans. I'll be quoting from some of them this evening. Meditation was something they did not take for granted. They were convinced of its importance. And I know as I look at my own life, my guess is in some ways you're like me. Meditation is something I hardly think of or take the time to do. And I think a lot of that may be because of the busyness of our culture and our own lives. And yet I hope and pray that this evening the Lord would truly lay upon our hearts a desire and an understanding of just how important this is, that we would not let anything in our lives keep us from it. So let's read now Joshua 1, verses 1 to 8. This is the word of our God. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And there ends the reading of the Word of God this evening. May the Spirit of God bless it to our hearts and our lives as we would study it together tonight. When I first became a Christian, I was involved in a campus ministry group. And one of the things that campus ministry really ingrained into my heart and into my mind is the importance of the daily quiet time. That I need to be in the Word every day. I need to be communing with God every day. And still to this day, I praise the Lord for the training that I received to know the importance of private worship. But as I look back over that time, in all honesty, I very much wish that the importance of the daily quiet time was supplemented with an understanding of the importance of biblical meditation. Because if you're like me, it's easy to be in the Word every day, to check the box on the reading list, if you will, and yet not profit from what you read at all. To go out into the rest of your day, and even though you spent time in the Word, it's as if you didn't spend any time in the Word, because it's not affecting your life. It's not filling you with the strength and the encouragement and the hope and the peace that it should. And that's because in large parts, not always the case, but in large parts, it's because while we may have read the Word, we did not take the time to meditate on the Word. To meditate on the Word. And as we'll see this evening, it is meditation in particular that is key to our sanctification. It is meditation that is key to our sanctification. And that's what we need to take home with us tonight. So the main point is this. Meditation is key to your sanctification. Knowing that truth then, therefore, pursue success in the battle against sin by regularly meditating upon the Word of God. By regularly meditating. And may the Lord help us as we seek to do that. Now, boys and girls, as you draw your picture tonight, thought you could draw a picture of Joshua. Remember, he's about ready to lead an army into a big war. But God told him not just to get his weapons ready, if you will, but to meditate on the Bible. And so maybe you could draw a picture of Joshua as he was thinking of what was coming ahead in his life as he was meditating upon this book of the law, upon the Scriptures. I've given you an outline. Our first point then tonight is that until we arrive at the promised land, we've got a battle against sin to fight. We've got a battle against sin to fight. Now, if you look at the beginning of Joshua 1, this book begins with a changing of the guard. Moses, you recall, had fearlessly led the Israelites out of Egypt all the way through the promised land. Through the wilderness, all the way to the promised land of Canaan. Yet because of a past sin, God said to Moses, you cannot step foot. You can look at the promised land. So he got all the way to the Jordan River, and yet Moses was not able to cross the river and go into the land once he saw it. So Moses died, as we see here, and Joshua, Moses' assistant, took over in leading the people. Verse 2, God said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Now, you have to put yourself in their shoes. In redemptive history, this is a pivotal moment because for about 500 years, the people of God had been waiting for this very moment. It was all the way back in Genesis 12 when God first made the promise to Abram that they would have this promised land of Canaan. And so the promise of obtaining the land was one the Israelites have been waiting for hundreds of years. And here they are. They're at the river. They can see it. It's right before their eyes. And yet, before they can enjoy the fullness of the promised land and make the promised land their own and have the peace and safety of the promised land, they first had to take possession of the promised land. And to take possession of the promised land, they had to dispossess all the nations who were already living there at the time. So the Hittites and the Perizzites and so forth. And so they had a lot of fighting to do first in order to clear the land of all of God's enemies and their enemies. That's essentially where we are today. That's essentially where we are today. Like the Israelites of old, the greater Moses has brought us out of Egypt. We have been set free from that bondage and slavery and curse of sin against us. And we have been brought through the wilderness. We are, I should say, being brought through the wilderness. And having been redeemed by the greater Moses, the Lord Jesus, we have a promised land that is waiting for us to come. But we're not there yet, are we? We're not there yet. And so, like the Israelites, we've got a battle to fight until we get to rest in the fullness of the promised land. And for us, that battle is the battle of the Christian life. It's not a battle against flesh and blood. It's the battle against the spiritual forces of darkness. It's the battle to trust God instead of worrying. It's the battle to rejoice in the Lord instead of despairing. It's the battle to be pure instead of impure, to be content, to live for the Lord and not for ourselves. That's our battle. It's our battle against sin. It's the battle for obedience. Now, it's not to say that our battle or our possession of the land, I should say, depends upon our battle or depends upon our obedience. Not at all. Rather, we obey because we have the assurance that the promised land has been won for us and it will be ours. And so it's in light of that that we are to fight. We are to take that battle into our hands. Paul speaks of this in Colossians chapter 3. I've given you this on the back of your outline. Paul begins by saying in verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died in Christ, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 5, therefore, because of that, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So we fight this battle now because until we're in the promised land, we're living in enemy territory. We've got the world around us, we've got our sinful hearts within us, and Satan all trying to go against us. And yet, as God called Joshua and God calls to us, we are, even in this time, we are to walk in obedience to the Lord. So like the Israelites, we have got a battle against sin to fight until we get to the promised land. So we see, secondly, in order to have success in the battle against sin, we need to meditate upon the Word. We need to meditate. So if you look at verses 6 and 7 here in chapter 1, God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous in this conquest. There's a lot we could talk about that. Unfortunately, we can't go into it this evening. Instead, I want us to focus on this other directive that God gives to Joshua as he anticipates going into the promised land. And that's what we see here in verse 8. I'm sure this is a verse many of you have memorized, where God says to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, as a result, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Now, Joshua didn't have the Bible just as we have the Bible today, but Joshua did have the book of the law. That's the first five books of the Bible, what we call the Pentateuch: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And in the book of the law, just as the case with all the scriptures, Joshua knew what he was to believe about God and what he was to do, how he was to live his life. In particular, what he was to believe and what he was to do as it pertained to conquering the land before him. And so that's why God told him that the book of the law was not to depart from his mouth. It was always to be in his mouth, right? That's to say, he's to know it intimately. He's to know all of it. As he went about his daily business leading the Israelites in this conquest, the book of the law was to be his guide as well as the guide of the people. But notice, God specifically says it wasn't just to read this book. It wasn't just to know this book. He was to meditate on this book. And that's our topic tonight. Now, in Hebrew, to meditate literally means to mutter. It's to ponder something under your breath, if you will. You're talking to yourself. And so for Joshua, this meant that he was to think about what he read in the book of the law, and then he was to contemplate it, let it ruminate in his mind, specifically as it pertained to the conquest and his job in leading it, right? And so that's, as God says here in verse 8, he's to meditate. Why? So that he will observe to do according to all that is written in it. And so biblical meditation, as we see it defined here in Joshua 1:8, is thinking about divine truth for the purpose of personal application. Thinking about divine truth for the purpose of personal application. I've given you a quote from Jerry Bridges, who I think defines it well. He says, "To meditate on the scriptures is to think about them, turning them over in our minds and applying them to our life's situations." And what I want us to see this evening is, as we see here in verse 8, it was meditation in particular that was the key to Joshua having success in the conquest. Right? Verse 8 concludes, "When Joshua meditated upon the book of the law and he applied it to his life and situation, what did God say would happen as a result? His way would be made prosperous and he would have good success." Now, that didn't necessarily mean that he would have long life and wealth. That's not the point. It simply meant that as he did what God called him to do, he would have success in it. In particular, at this moment, it meant that the enemies in the land would be driven out and the Israelites would be able to take over it. As we consider our own battle against sin in the Christian life, the same thing is true. Meditation is key to our sanctification. If we are to obey, if we are to have success in killing sin, it comes to us through the means of meditation. Think of it another way. The power that is ours by virtue of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ, God has seen fit to give us more and more of that power through this means of meditation. We sang Psalm 1 just a few minutes ago. where speaking of the Christian, we read in verse 2 that his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. What will be the result of that? What's the psalmist say? Verse 3, that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also does not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So you see, according to the word here, there's an intimate connection between sanctification and meditation. If we're to have success, we are to meditate. Because what happens when we just read the word and leave it at that? I'm sure you've all experienced this at some time. I experienced this myself. Right? It's with us for a moment, and then we go out, something happens, and it's as if we never read it. But rather, if we read the word, meditate on the word, take it with us as we go, then what happens as a result? We have the word with us. We have more and more the capability to have the word shed light upon our experiences, as we talked this morning, to change our thinking as we come up against various trials and troubles in our lives. And we're strengthened and better able to respond in a manner that's worthy of the gospel of Christ. I've given you a quote from the Puritan Thomas Watson, who once said, "A Christian without meditation is like a soldier without arms, without weapons, or a workman without tools." You wouldn't do that, right? Without meditation, the truths of God will not stay with us. The heart is hard and the memory slippery, and without meditation, all is lost. So meditation is the process that ensures we reap the most nourishment. Now, I know I think I've said this many times before. I know it's not a lovely picture, but think of chewing the cud. Right, that's the idea here, chewing the cud. What does a cow need to do in order to have the nutrients to produce the milk? It needs to regurgitate some food from one of its stomachs and then chew what it regurgitated for a while. And then re-swallow it, because as a result of that, the cow is able to get what it needs to produce the milk. If the cow does not chew the cud, the milk, the cow will not be as healthy and the milk will not be produced. So it is with biblical meditation. We need to chew the cud. We need to chew the scriptures and keep chewing the scriptures and keep chewing the scriptures. I've given you another quote from a Puritan, Edmund Calamy, who says, "Meditation is like the bee that dwells and abides on the flower to suck out all the sweetness." It's not magic. It's not easy, that's for sure. But meditation is the source of our nourishment, the source of our strength from the Word of God. And so we need to meditate, God says. Well, thirdly, our meditation upon the Word needs to be regular. It needs to be a regular part of our daily lives. So if you go back and you look here at Joshua 1, when God told Joshua that he was to be meditating upon the book of the law, notice he also said how often he was to be meditating upon the book of the law. Right? Day and night. You may recall when we just sang Psalm 1, we read those exact same words, that the Christian is described as meditating upon the Word day and night. Now, I don't think that means we are to meditate every morning and every evening as if this is a strict schedule. I think the point is, it's to be constant. It's to be regular. It's to be daily. It's not something we do once a year. It's not something we do even once a week. It's a regular part of who we are and what we do. Now, as Joshua was leading the Israelites in conquering these foreign nations, they were embarking upon a great season of wartime. And Joshua, just as any military commander, had to be ready for anything that would come his way. And so this brings out for us why it was so important that he could not go away from that book of the law, but it had to be before him all the time, because anything could happen and he needed the book of the law to shed light upon it. Well, so too, we are in a war, and it's never going to end until we are called to glory or Jesus comes back. Our sinful heart will always be attacking us. Satan will always be going against us. It happens constantly. Peter, in 1 Peter 5:8, familiar verses, says, "Be sober, be vigilant." Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We've experienced this, haven't we? So you think of your own life. You finally feel like you're making progress in one area, and then it doesn't take much before there's a temptation and you completely fail in another area. As I look at my yard right now, I have all these weeds coming up. It wasn't that long ago where I was out there with my fertilizer that has weed killer in it, trying to get rid of all of them. And yet, it seems like it did nothing. I tried to kill the weeds. It looked like maybe they were going to be killed. And yet, here are the weeds again. That's often how we feel in the Christian life. Because that's the situation in which we are in. It's nonstop. The weeds are always going to be coming up. The attacks are always going to be coming to us. And so meditation then, if that is key to our success in the battle, needs to be constant in what as well. So as we begin our day, as we go through the day, as we end the day, God wants His Word to be ruminating in our minds. Now, granted, we have work to do that requires our thoughts, and we have kids to teach, we have sleep to get. But as best we can, we need to have the Word in our hearts. And the question I want you to ask yourselves this evening is are you meditating on the Word? Is it a regular part of your daily life? Now, I kind of said some of this earlier. I think there are many reasons for this. One big reason may be you just don't know that God wants you to meditate. Another reason could be you're lazy and you don't want to put in the mental focus. I know in my own life that very much is the reason why I don't meditate as much as I want. I'd rather be doing other things that are more enjoyable or that easier to do. And maybe it's just simply because of your schedule. You think, I don't have the time for this. I think it's striking that God told Joshua, when Joshua was at a very busy time in his life, leading an entire army to go attack many different foreign nations, God didn't say, Joshua, I know you're busy, so try to make some time for meditation. He said, Joshua, make this a priority. If you're to have success and not be defeated, you need to make sure that you are doing this. So there may be many reasons why. But we need to see here, God says it's key to our sanctification. And since the battle is constant, the meditation needs to be constant as well. And so then, as we come now to our fourth and final point, let us, by the grace of God, pursue success in the battle against sin by meditating on the Word, as God calls us to here. Now, in closing, I want to give you three simple practical steps, and I don't want to be dogmatic about all these. I simply offer them to you to be helpful in seeking to grow in meditation. The first one is always find something to take away from the Scriptures. Never let yourself read the Word or hear a sermon without taking something with you to meditate on. Some nugget of truth, something that convicted you, some question you have, something that encouraged you or that you never knew before, but something that you can then meditate on as you go to bed tonight and as you go into the week ahead of you. Pastor Holderman and I will often always give you a main point of the sermon. Right? Denny Pruto, as I think many of you know, he would say, this is the ring around the bathtub. That's the main point. You let the water out, what do you have? The ring of residue. Again, not a lovely picture. That's the point of the main point. So that if you didn't get anything else, you've got that. You've got something to hold on to. Something you can take with you and meditate upon. Another thing you could do is take notes. I know many of you are taking notes. Many of you do take notes. When you read the Bible at home, when you hear a sermon, jot down, what are some questions that came up? What are some of the things that you learned and encouraged you? But the point of the notes, not to just throw them in the wastebasket when you get home, not even just to file them in your journal so you can look back and see, oh, look at all the sermons I've listened to, but it's actually to use the notes, to pray over the notes, to take time to think over, okay, what was that about? What was he saying? What is the Word saying? How can I apply this to my life? And I'd especially encourage you to include in your daily times throughout the week some meditation upon the preached Word from the Lord's Day. Now, I've given you a quote from Joel Beakey and Mark Jones, and I think they put it so well. When people stop meditating on sermons, they stop benefiting from them. You look at the Scriptures and see the importance of meditation. I think this is very, very much the case, that we would meditate upon the Word that we've heard so that we can profit from it so much more than we would if we did not meditate And then third, memorize the Scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." I memorize the word so that I'll have success in the battle. Very much ties in with meditation, because as we're out on the job, as we're in the office, we can't just sit there and open up our Bibles half the time. So we're driving in the car. But if we've got some of the Bible stored up in our hearts, doesn't matter what we're doing, doesn't matter where we are, we're able to go back and think about it and meditate and ponder it. So find some passages. What are passages that apply specifically to your situation right now, or your particular trials and temptations? Find those passages. Commit them to memory. Doesn't have to be much. Doesn't have to be many of them. It's not a competition. Take the word. Store it up in your heart, as the psalmist says, so that you can better meditate upon the word and have more success in the battle against sin. So find something to take away from the Scriptures. Take notes and memorize the word. Puritan Thomas Brooks once said, "It is not he that reads most, but he that meditates most, that will prove the choicest, sweetest, wisest, and strongest Christian." I think that very much is what we see here in Joshua 1. So let us, as we go into this week, realize the importance we see. Meditation is key to our sanctification. And relying upon Him, let us pursue success. Let us love our Savior by making meditation a regular part of our daily lives. Well, let's pray and ask Him to help us. Our Father in heaven, we do confess to You our failings in this area. Lord, we are a busy and a lazy people, and we don't love You as we should. We pray, O God, that You would help us to realize that You are a God who uses means, and we need to be in those means. You've told us where we can reap success, where we can get the strength we need so that we can bear more and more fruit of righteousness in our lives. And we thank You that You teach us so clearly that meditation is one of those great means of grace that You will use in our lives. And so, Lord, help us not to trust in ourselves, but help us to meditate upon Your Word and to put in the time and the energy and the effort, trusting, Lord, that You will bless those efforts. And so give us the hope and the encouragement and the strength and power that we so desperately need as we think of the conquest we are engaged in right now. We thank You that we will one day, thanks to Christ, obtain our promised land. Until that day, may we show our thanks for Him and our love for Him by fighting with all that we have, relying upon Your Spirit, and finding our strength to fight through the grace of meditation. Bless us to that end, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.